Father God, we bow before you this morning to say thank you for the privilege to be in your house once again. Thank you, Father, for your holy word that indeed through your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and our minds and instructs us in the ways that we should live our lives. And so, Father, this morning I come to you with a request of asking that you would bless the message that you put upon my heart, that you would bless it into each of our hearts in such a way that that it will strengthen us, that it will feed us, and it will help us, Lord, along our paths, our journeys in life. So, Father, as we open our Bibles, may our hearts be open to receive your word, and may we find instruction, may we find comfort, may we find all that we need, Lord, contained within the pages of your Holy Bible. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. I ask you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. As you're turning there, Paul loved these people. He loved all of the saints of God, wherever that he came in contact with them. But he loved these people for a very special reason. That is, when he went into them and he began to teach them, that they received the word and they rejoiced in the word, and they believed it in such a way that they turned from their idols. And Thessalonia was it was filled with idolatrous worship. They had their idols set up everywhere that they would go. There would be an idol. They would bow down to that idol. They would worship the gods of this world, which are no gods whatsoever, but yet they would worship them. And so when Paul saw their zeal in turning from that false worship to worshiping the only true and living God, he fell in love with them. And you can tell that as you read through this book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, but you can sense that love that he had for them as he would write these words. And so in our text today, you'll see that come across, that indeed that love shows through in this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 8. I had verse 9 in my notes. We're going to start at verse 8 down through verse 13. Paul saying, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You're witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, and here's that love that comes out, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So this morning, I've kind of struggled this morning as I was trying to kind of bring my mind into focus on what I wanted to say. I kind of struggled because at some point I'm going to change gears in this message. I'm telling you ahead of time. I'm going to change gears at some point. I'll try to let you know I'm changing into high now. But I'm going to start out by talking about the written word of God. The written word of God. The Bible. Okay? But then at some point, I'm going to change gears into talking about the living Word of God. And the living Word of God is Jesus Christ. And I'll show you scripture that brings that out in just a little while. But I want to start out by talking about the written Word of God. Because it's in the written Word of God that as we study and we think about the things that God has written to us, that He shared with us, you know, He shared His very heart and mind with us. inspiring men to write the Word of God. He shared His very innermost thoughts with us. Now, He didn't has completely revealed Himself to us, but He's revealed everything about Himself that we need to know to go from day to day in our lives and how to deal with the struggles and the situations and circumstances that come upon us. So, to begin with, I'm going to just share some facts with you. But when I give you the facts, I want us to go beyond the facts to the source. Bear with me, please. Pray for me, but bear with me. I want us to go to the source. I want us to understand that the Bible is not just another book. The Bible is not just words that are printed on pieces of paper. But when we read the Bible, we are reading it. That's what Paul brought out to the Thessalonians here. He said, when you received it, you received it as it truly is. That it's not just men's words. It's God's Word. It's God speaking to us. So, I think that sometimes we can... Again, I'm struggling, so help me with your praying for me, please. But sometimes I think we can fall in love with the Word and miss the fact that it goes beyond being the Word. It's the Word of God. It's God sharing with us. So I want us to fall in love all over again with God and with our Savior Jesus Christ. I want us to have that renewal of heart and mind again, to know that God has shared His innermost thoughts with us. Y'all may have heard this little story, but maybe it'll say better what I'm trying to share with you this morning. There was an association meeting, and I don't know where, I'm assuming it really happened, but I don't know where it was or anything about it. Associational meeting, and there was a young preacher that was put up to preach, and then there was an older preacher that was to follow him. And this happens so many times at association meetings. God will put the same passage of Scripture on the hearts of two different men, and they'll wind up preaching the same text but preaching a different sermon. So the young man got up, and his text was the 23rd Psalm. And he gave a great dissertation on the 23rd Psalm. Everything that he said was just perfect. It was just right. There was nothing that anybody could criticize about what he said. He said it. He spoke it. He sat down, and there just wasn't much reaction or response to it. The older preacher that was following him got up immediately after him, and he said, as it happened so many times, God's put the same Scripture on my heart as He did this young man, and he did a fine job with it, but God's put it on my heart. And so he began to preach the 23rd Psalm. And when he finished and he sat down, there was not a dry eye in the house. Everyone was weeping out of joy and love for Jesus. And there was a boy sitting beside his father, and he looked up at his father and he said, "Daddy," said, "they both preached the same sermon or the same text. With one, there's no response, and now there's not a dry eye in the house. What's the difference?" And his daddy looked at him and said, "Son, the young man knew the 23rd Psalm. The old man knew the shepherd." So today, I want you to hear the Word of God. But I want you to receive it just as the Thessalonians did. This is God speaking to you. It's not Steve speaking. If it's Steve speaking, don't have anything to do with it. Just throw it away. But if God speaks to your heart, if God stirs your heart to remind you how important the Word of God is to us, then I'll praise Him for that. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. God speaking through Jeremiah concerning His Word. And again, I may be a little tedious in getting where I want to go with this, but again, bear with me and pray for me. I think I've said that more times in this one sermon than I have in the last 3 months, but pray for me. I need your prayers this morning. I want us to see God's authority concerning His Word. His Word is not just a suggestion for us. His Word is not just, "I think you might ought to do this. I think if you'll do this, it just might work for you if you try it." That's not what Paul said to the Thessalonians. He said, God's Word works. It works. Have you ever been troubled by something? And whether you pick up the Bible and you start reading it, I'm going to Jeremiah 1, I promise you. But you start reading it and all of a sudden you realize God is speaking through those very words, the very thing that's troubling you, the very thing that you're struggling with. All of a sudden, it's like the light goes off. There it is. There's the answer. There's what I needed to hear. God knew exactly. You people say, well, what's the best way to read the Bible? There's not a bad way to read the Bible. Just read it. Get it inside of you. And then when it's needed and necessary, God will bring it out. God will remind you of what you've read. You might say, well, I read so many chapters today and I didn't get a thing out of it. That's okay. Because when you do need to get something out of it, it'll come back to you by way of the Holy Spirit, bringing it back to your remembrance. That's why he says that all Scripture is given. I'm going to Jeremiah 1, I promise. But I'm going back to the Scripture I read at the beginning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you might say, well, what does that mean that God inspired men to write? Literally, what the word inspiration means there is that God breathed His Word into the very being of the one that was writing it. And as God breathed that Word into them, they wrote the words down on the parchment as God would give it to them. This is not man's opinion. Can I tell you something that bothers me in this day and time? It doesn't affect us right here in this place, but it bothers me in this day and time that there are institutions of higher learning where that people are supposed to be teaching the Bible to someone else, and they don't even believe it. I'm going to tell you, if I didn't believe what's in the Bible, you don't need me to be standing here telling you what I think. I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm here to tell you what is, thus saith the Lord. And that's what I need. That's what you need, to hear what God says. All Scripture is breathed by God. And not only is it breathed by God into those that were writing it, when it comes into our heart and when it comes into our mind and we receive a blessing out of it, can I tell you that the Holy Spirit has breathed that Word from the page into your heart at that particular moment, and it registers and you realize, yes, that's exactly what I needed to hear just right now. We sing that song sometimes, don't we? Just when I need Him. Jesus is near. Well, I can tell you, just when you need it, if you put the Word into you, just when you need it, God will bring it out. And you'll be able to see and understand and know that is what God says. And that's the difference. That's the difference in my life. Okay, so all Scripture is given by inspiration, breathed by God. And we receive it that way. If I only receive it as a book of suggestions, you might as well throw it away and go get a self-help book out of the library. It'd be just as good if that's all it is. But it is the Word of God. And I know you all know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I'm just trying to reinforce it this morning. It's the Word of God. It is precious to us because it is the Word of God. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah is writing as God is speaking to him. Remember? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. What are you saying, Jeremiah? He's saying, what I'm writing on this, what follows this, is not my words, it is the Word of God. It's the Word of the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now I'm going to go to verse 12, but before I go to verse 12, I want us to look at that. This verse 11, as I where I want to go with this, is setting the stage. Jeremiah, and God's shown him this vision. And He's shown him this vision. He's seeing it in his heart. He's seeing it in his mind. I don't know if it was a literal vision that he saw with his eyes, but it's something that he saw. And he said, now Jeremiah, what do you see? Tell me what you see. He says, I see a rod of an almond tree. A rod of an almond tree. A rod of an almond tree. What does that have to do with what I'm trying to share with you today? Well, when I think of the rod and I think of the almond tree, I go back to the book of Numbers. I'll tell you, it's in chapter 17. I'm not going to turn and read it. But in chapter 17 of the book of Numbers, there was a time leading up to that the people rose up against Moses and Aaron. You remember Moses. We talked about him at the beginning of this series of trusting God. And this is still part of that series of trusting God. You trust His Word. But they rose up against Moses, and Aaron was the one that God appointed to be the high priest that would enter in to offer the ultimate sacrifices of atonement every year, year after year after year. Well, the people rose up against him, and they said, Moses and Aaron, I'm paraphrasing it, you'll find it in chapter 16 and 17 in Numbers. Moses and Aaron, you're just taking too much on yourself. You're putting yourself in a position that you just decided yourself that's what you're going to do. And then they said, any one of us could do what you're doing. And you see what they're building themselves up to say, we can do it just as well as you can. Well, if you're just looking at the physical aspect of it, you say, well, yes, you could do it just as well. But the difference was God called Aaron and God called Moses. He did not call those other 2 million people that were rising up to say that we could do it also. It has to be a God called thing in which that the service of God is performed. And so they said, we can do this, we can do this. And so God said to Moses, he said, this is what I want you to do. There's 12 tribes. And for every tribe, I want you to take a staff or a rod, and I want you to write the name of that tribe on it, whether it be Judah, whether it be the tribe of Levi, which he said you put Aaron's name on the tribe of Levi, whether it be Dan or any of the other tribes that were there. 12 rods, 12 sticks, put their names on it, put it against the Ark of the Testimony, and leave it there overnight. And the rod that buds, they're all, look at them, they're dead sticks. The rod that buds, that's the one. That tribe is the one, that name is the one that will indeed be the servant that I've called. When in the next morning, there's the 12 rods that are there. But Aaron's rod, the one that God called to be the high priest, if you remember, Aaron's rod had budded. Life came out of death. You see where I'm going with this, I hope? Life came out of death, a dead stick. Life came out of it. And that was God showing His authority and His power to do as He pleases and to call who He pleases. And so when God said to Jeremiah, what do you see? He says, I see a rod of an almond tree. I have no doubt that when Jeremiah said, I see a rod of an almond tree, automatically his mind went right back to the same place mine did. I mean, he was steeped in that tradition of what had taken place throughout the years of how God had taken care of the nation of Israel all the way up to that point. So I believe that his mind automatically went back to Aaron's rod. He said, I see a rod that has budded. I see the power of God. I see the authority of God. Now God establishes that. And for the rest of what I'm going to say today, we have to be established right now in this shows us the power of God. It shows us the power of God. Now you might say, well, that's a book. It's written on paper. It's got black ink, red ink. But what it speaks to us by the Holy Spirit is telling us what we need to know about who God is, how God works, how that He works sometimes behind the scenes and we don't understand what He's doing at the moment, but we have to trust that He's on His throne. We have to trust that He's doing and working His will and His pleasure in and among our lives. So Aaron says, or excuse me, Jeremiah says, I see that rod of an almond tree, and Lord, I see beyond that. I see your power. I see your authority. I see your ability to do what you say you're going to do. And listen, if we don't understand that when we read the Bible, if we don't understand that God still today means exactly what He said, I keep going back to this, I would not encourage you to read it. But know that God has that power and that authority to bring life out of death. God has that power to show His authority and His power and His grace and His mercy and His love in every one of our lives according to the situation and the circumstance that we find ourselves in. God is still moving and working and dealing in our lives. And that's what Jeremiah saw. And once he saw that, once he saw the power of God and the ability of God, the authority of God, the will of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, then he was ready for God to take him to the next step, which is in verse 12 when he said, "Then saith the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen." You saw the right thing, Jeremiah. So I'm going to stop just right now for just a moment and to say and to ask that every one of us just to stop. I said, well, maybe I couldn't say that. Sop it up. Have you ever sopped anything up? Gravy and a biscuit? It's good sopping, isn't it? Well, sop up the Word of God. Let it soak in. Let it soak in that ability and who God is and how He deals in your life. Look back on your own life and say, how has God blessed me to be to this point right now? What has God done for me? How has He brought me to this place? Has there been anything in your life that you can look back now and say, I was in this situation, but God brought me through it? I dare say every one of us, at least one. And we don't have enough time for me to tell you how many times God has brought me through situations and circumstances to be to this point. So when we can get that in our hearts and our minds, and we can be focused on the authority, the power of God, then we're ready to receive verse 12. And verse 12 says, "Then said the Lord unto me," God's still speaking, "Thou hast well seen," you've seen it right, "for I will hasten my word to perform it." If I don't understand that God is able to perform it, then I'm not going to receive that verse 12 either. If I haven't received God's authority to perform it, I'm not going to receive verse 12 either. If I haven't seen the ability of God to bring good things out of situations or circumstances that we think that there's no good that can come out of it, but God is good and God is able to bring good things out of bad things that happen to us. God is able. And when we can get that deep in our hearts and our minds, then we can receive that word that He says, okay, now you're ready to hear this. I'm going to hasten my word to perform it. Now here I am, I'm still on word definitions, okay? Because I'm thinking that word hasten means, yeah, I always thought hasten means do it quickly. Do it quickly. And you'll read throughout the Bible where He says, suddenly there's shown about them, round about them, that light that struck fear into the hearts and minds of the shepherds that night that Jesus was born. Suddenly there appeared unto Him the host of the heavenly host singing, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. But can I tell you something? Though it happened suddenly to the shepherds, it wasn't sudden to God. He said right here, I'm going to hasten to perform it. But it happened 700 years after He told Jeremiah that. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think 700 years is going very quick. Years are going quicker now than they did when I was 9, 10, 11 years old waiting for Christmas. But they go much quicker now. But 700 years is still a long time, and yet God says, I'm going to hasten my word to perform what I've told you to do, and that is I'm going to bring life out of death. So what did the word hasten mean? If it didn't mean that it's going to happen quickly, what does it mean? Well, I looked it up according to the Strong's Concordance. It means to watch over beyond the time. You say, okay, on such and so time, and He didn't even tell Jeremiah when it was going to happen, but on such and so time He said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to watch over my word to make sure that I bring it about. That's the word hasten means, to watch over, to make certain that it happens. You read, and I can't take you exactly where it says that in the Old Testament, it says, there has not one promise of God that has ever failed. And why can we believe that? Why can we receive that? We say, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible. But what about it being in the Bible? What makes it so sure just because it's in the Bible? If I just say, well, it's in the Bible. But if I go beyond it to say, God said it. And because God said it, that settles it. So he said to Jeremiah, you saw exactly what I intended for you to see. You saw that rod of an almond tree, and you saw what I can do with a dead stick. And I'm going to hasten it. I'm going to watch over that word to make sure in time that is being fulfilled that it takes place. So that's why it's important for us to be in the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to spend time every single day. I'm going to bring in our lesson this morning, and one of the questions was, what feeds our faith the most, the Word of God or the 6 o'clock news? Which one feeds our faith? Right, the next question is, which we didn't ask that this morning, which one do we spend more time in every day? What occupies my time the most every day? The news of the world or the good news of Jesus Christ? You might say, well, again, you say, oh, I read it, but I don't really understand it. And you know what most people fall that after? Well, I don't understand it, so I don't read it. And can I tell you, if you don't read it, you'll never understand it. And if you read it and you don't understand it now, I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating. If you read it and you don't understand it now, when you need to understand it, God will bring it to your understanding. He'll bring it out, what He's put within you. That's what Philippians 2, one of the devotions this week was that, work out your own salvation, for it is God which worketh in you. He works it into you to will and to do according to His purpose. If He works it into you, He's also going to work it out of you. Because He hastens, He looks over His Word to make sure that it comes about. There's not one promise of God that ever has failed, or will it ever fail. I'll hasten to watch over it. And I'm really stressing that this morning. There's a lot more I wanted to say, but I want to go back. Now I'm going to high gear, okay? That was low gear concerning the Word of God. But I want us to go to high gear now as to why that it's important and the authority of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Can I accept that this morning? I know we steer away from that word, but I'm going to use it. Can I accept that this morning? Can I believe that? Can you believe that? That God's thoughts are not your thoughts. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. I try to get things. We talked again. I'm talking about our class this morning. We talked about we're all deep down. We're all control freaks. Every one of us, to one degree or another, in one area or another, we're control freaks. We want to feel like we're in control. And God says, well, wait a minute, you got to stop and think about something. And that is, God says that His thoughts are not my thoughts. God's thoughts are not how God has planned things out, are not necessarily the way I have things planned out. So I either become rigid in my thoughts and I stay where I'm at, and I rob myself of blessings, or I start to try to align my thoughts with God's thoughts. Because that's where the blessings lies, when we're lined up with God. God's not going to line up with us. We are to line up with Him. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wait a minute, God, you mean you got a better way than I do? I've got it all planned out. I've got it all figured out. Your way's better than mine. Is that what you're saying, God? I don't mean to be sacrilegious about it. I'm just being real. And He says, yes, they are. My thoughts are better than yours, and my ways are better than yours. They're higher, they're holier, they're perfect. Why are God's ways and His thoughts perfect and mine aren't? Because God declares the end from the beginning. And God leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, He's still my shepherd. And He's leading and He's guiding. He says, my thoughts are higher, my ways are higher. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth the bud and bud that it may give seed to the sower. Let me go to verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, how did Paul's writing to Thessalonians line up with that? He used the word effectual. The word of God is effectual. It works. The word of God works. There's no other way to put it. So, when I feel that I'm in a conflict, how do I go about coming out of that conflict? How do I go about from coming out of the storm into the place of calmness and peace and blessings? When I say, Lord, this is how I think, this is how I feel, and it's just not getting me anywhere. What's it saying now? How'd that work for you? It just doesn't work very well when I'm trying to do it my way. So Lord, help me to line up. Help me to deal with what I'm going through right now. Help me to have peace about it. Help me to have the right direction. Help me, Lord, to come back from where I'm at to that place where I left the enlightenment that I was in. I'm in darkness now, Lord. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. Help me to come back and to line my thoughts up with your thoughts. And when I pray that prayer sincerely from my heart, He answers it. He answers it. And He gives peace. I said I was switching gears. I don't have time to finish. Y'all get out early today. I don't have time to do justice to the high gear. So, Lord willing, next Sunday we'll go into high gear. But I don't want to leave you with this thought. Paul said, the Word of God is effectual. I know the world, and even some in religious circles will say, well, the Word of God it's outdated. It was written thousands of years ago. What did they know about what we're going through today? There's the problem. It's not a matter of what they knew. It wasn't the Word of men. It's the Word of God. And what is one thing that we know about God? He never changes. He never changes. So what He said that was good for them then, I'm going to tell you something else. Human nature doesn't change either. People say, well, I wish I'd been in the Garden of Eden. I wouldn't have eaten that fruit. Oh, yes, you would have. I would have too. We'd have done the exact same thing because human nature is the same. And God is the same. So what do? We line ourselves up with God. When we line ourselves up with God and seek His thoughts, His ways, His plans, His purpose, then there's joy and there's peace. There's calmness to know that we're walking hand in hand with Jesus and that He's leading us down those paths that are right and are true and are good. And I want to close this part of this message with what we closed with in our class today. Jeremiah 29:11. When God says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord. Wait a minute, but God, I don't know those thoughts. Well, you don't have to know those thoughts. Just know who's saying it. That's why I stressed at the very beginning that this is the Word of God. God says, I know the thoughts, or I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. And their plans are thoughts of peace and goodness and righteousness and not of evil. He says, to bring you to an expected end. Whose expected end is He going to bring us to? Well, it's not always ours, is it? Because quite honestly, we can have the wrong plans. Quite honestly, we can have the wrong end in mind as to what God has for us. When the whole time He says, no, it's not there. It's over here. I know where I'm taking you. I know where I'm leading you. I know where I'm guiding you. And I know the thoughts that I have toward you. I know. God knows. And that's all I need to know, really. You know what? Or is that a play on words? I know. God knows. You know? He does know. And He brings us to the place of peace, contentment. He gives, He's promised us His peace, His joy, His love, His contentment, His power, His grace, His mercy, His presence with us. You see, that's what the Word of God promises us. It's what He shows us through His Word. And when we receive it as His Word, then those times that we think that we're all alone, those times that we think that nobody else understands, nobody else cares what's going on. I'm going to say this. You may get tired of hearing me say this. If you haven't experienced what I'm talking about, God bless you. But if you have experienced it, if you do know what it's like to feel like that you're having to face any situation on your own, can I tell you this morning, you know it, but I'm going to remind you, you're not alone. Because He's promised. He's promised to be with us always, even until the end of the world. If He said it, it's true. But one thing that God's Word teaches us is this: God cannot lie. That's the only thing that I have read in God's Word that He cannot do. God cannot lie. He will not lie, because it goes against His very nature. It goes against, He would cease to be God if He ever told a lie. So, whatever you read in the Bible, in God's Word, you can believe it, because it's true. It is the very Word of God. May we pray.